Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. The title of this sermon is God, the Promise Keeper. Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study.
And the Jews will come in huge numbers to faith. Huge. It's going to happen. And so, unfortunately, trials and tribulations and pains and hurt make you reach out to something. And the hope would be is that they would find the Messiah. And that's what the prayer needs to be. The other thing we learned about Isaac's birth is faith is tested. Faith is tested. It's a genuine faith, and I love that because their faith, yeah, did they hit the mark every time? No, but neither do you or I, right? Just understand that. Don't be so critical of the humanity in the Bible. And what I mean by that is those who stumble in the Bible. We can be so critical. I like the apostles. Oh, I would never run. Psh, man, please. Right? You don't know. Right? You don't know. You don't know what you would do in that event. Just like you don't know, like if they're killing people and taking their wives or sisters, you don't know. So, hey, I need you to lie. Right? Because let me tell you something, when your life is put on the line, you much more want to live than you want to die. I don't care who you are. I don't care what state you're in. You're just like, hey, I want to live. If I can live for another moment, I want to live for another moment. But will we do that to live for Christ? Or will we be like our Bible who asked for more time and he got 15 years and he ruined it? Right? By showing them, hey, let me show you the storehouses of God. Right? And then what makes it worse is he's like, hey, God's like, hey, you understand they're gonna overtake Israel. They're gonna overtake the nation. Well, it's not gonna happen in my lifetime, is it? He didn't care. He didn't care about the generations behind him. He was just like, it won't happen in my lifetime. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, my brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. I love that, because when we think about our faith being tested, it's like, my brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And so, you know, it's again, Peter spoke about this back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. When we think about trials and faith, and it says, this brings you great joy, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. Such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold that is tested by fire. Even though it's passing away and will bring praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's like the testing of faith also produces life. It produces life. And so one of the things we learn is as we go through the testing of our faith is we need to stand firm to the very end, right? The last thing we learn about Isaac's birth is that God has set time for everything. He appoints it, and it's an important lesson for us that God has appointed time for accomplishing not your will, His will. Okay? He doesn't leave anything up to chance. It's in Isaiah 57:15. It tells you, "For this is what the High and Exalted One says, the One who rules forever, whose name is holy. I dwell in the exalted holy place, but I also with discouraged humiliated, and in order to cheer up the humiliated and to encourage the discouraged." And he's like, it doesn't matter, like, whatever height, whatever depth, however, whatever realm, physical, it doesn't matter. God doesn't deal in that because He stands outside of time. See, we stand in time, and so it's hard for us to wrap our heads around something when we think about that God has a set time for something. Like, God's the only one who knows when His Son, Jesus Christ, will return. Jesus doesn't even know. But we know it's going to happen, and God knows the exact date and the exact time. Man does not know that, but God does. And it is to fulfill His promises and to do His will. And so we see that, and I love that because, you know, one of the things that we know is that when we think about God the Spirit is His relationship to time, and John 4:24 says God is Spirit, and the people who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And so Ecclesiastes 3:1-2 says, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven a time to be born." And then Romans 8:31-39 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died more than that, who raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And I love this. "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for you, your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that's what I love, is when we look at this, as we see the promises that are being fulfilled, even though Abraham and Sarah try to fulfill the promise themselves, and they have Ishmael. And Ishmael's going to be a huge problem. And Ishmael is still a problem. You have the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael that are still fighting each other today. And this is what happens when we try to play God's will and we try to do things in our own understanding. And we go, "Hey, I'm going to help God out." God don't need your help. God just wants you to pray and be faithful and to take those steps of faith. Abraham believed God was faithful to His promises, and he stepped out in faith. Now, did he fall and make mistakes? Oh, he did. Did Sarah believe in God and was faithful? Did she give birth while she was in her childbearing years? No. They believed that God would do what He said He would do. And they could trust that. They had faith in that. In verse 3, it says, "Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac." Isaac meaning laughter. And this is a supernatural birth. This should not have happened. But God intervened. And I say this all the time, and Teresa doesn't like it, but God could bring us one more, number 6. It's on the Lord if it's going to happen, right? Romans 4:19 says, "He did not weaken in faith. He considered his own body, which was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. So we see that even Paul talks about Abraham. He's like, hey, this dude was 100 years old, man. And Sarah's womb should not have given birth to anything but God. And we see it again in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. It says, but Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was at past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of the heaven and as many as innumerable grains of sands by the seashore. You're all descendants of Abraham and Sarah, every one of us, right? And yet we fight. Why do we fight? Why do we see such a, always have a mess in the Middle East? It's because of Ishmael and Isaac. We see the breakdown that causes. Even though they're both from Abraham and Sarah, right? Now some will claim that, you know, I'm from Abraham and I'm from Hagar, right? But that's what happens when false religion gets involved, when people start making up religions like the Quran and Muhammad, and they don't know what to do with Jesus. And so they have to deal with that as well in a false way, and it just creates chaos and it creates division. You know, we're called to love our neighbor. We're called to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. You know, we're called to love our enemies. So Christians can't get out of that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, one of the things I love to do is I love to love you, but I also love to give you truth. And we need to do that as well. So don't forget that part of it. Verse 4 says, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. I love that they give the details. Those are important. Like, hey, he was 100. So he honored God, and what does he do? He honors God by circumcising Isaac. He's following what God had commanded him to do. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 22, it says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why faith was counted to him as righteousness. He waited on God. It's the same as Noah waiting on the sign when it was time to close the ark, right? He waited on God. How do we know that we're in end times and we're getting ready for Jesus to return? We'll look like the days of Noah. There'll be no justice. People will be ripping each other off. There'll be sexual morality. They won't be believers of God. We also see that we have examples of waiting on God as Abraham patiently waited for Isaac. We also have the seed from the Lord that Rachel waited upon her womb as well. And so we long to walk by faith and not by sight, so we are to trust God. In verse 6 it says, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And so we see the faithfulness of God in this. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, seeing that his divine power has been granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So one of the things we know is that God has given us that promise of seeing that being fulfilled. And even in her laughter, you know, you can imagine how many times she must have laughed at first as she's looking at her son, and God provided, because he's faithful, Sarah, this child. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, by these he granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, because he is the promise keeper, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And so one of the things that we learn is that for us is that you have been called to godliness and to an understanding of His true knowledge and His glory and His excellency, because you're His child. And what is it that's keeping you from stepping out in faith? If you know that He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, right? He's like, you're to become partakers of the divine nature. What's holding you back from doing that, right? What's holding you back from doing that? And trust me, for a lot of people, we're going to get into it this week as we talk about the pure spiritual milk. We're going to spend the whole Sunday talking about the Word of God, the purity of God's Word, and why we need to be in it. And that's where a lot of people struggle, because just like it says in Amos, there's a famine of what? Not food or water, of the Word of God. And I would take it that you could probably go to maybe 60% of the churches in America and there's a famine of the Word of God. It's not being taught. And so if it's not being taught, and it's not being read, and it's not being applied, what you have happen is you have this, you have what's happening in the nation today. There is no God. To this group of kids, there is no God. Or the God that they have, they've created in their own minds, right? Their God is either, their God can be Allah, their God can be a woman, their God can be queer, their God can be, those are all gods that they've created in their head. That does not line up with who the Word of God says who God is, the promise keeper. But people will be blinded and they will be given up to a debased mind the further they dive into that sin. But He's saying, as for you, because you walk by faith and not by sight, like, you have to understand that you're precious, and those magnificent promises, you can be partakers of them. So start stepping up and living like it. Stop looking like a defeated person, right? It's like, sometimes Christians have no joy. They're more depressing to be around than like, it's like, what's wrong with you? You have eternity. You have eternity with Christ. There's nothing that man can do to you. He can't take your soul. So application for tonight. One is, how do we get it quieter for next week? That's the first step of application, right? I don't know if there's anybody else. I think the whole city of Divine is outside the walls of the church right now, but not inside the church where they should be. But one of the applications is how will I respond when God calls me to step out in faith and follow Him? How are you going to respond when you're called? How will you respond? Because at the end of the day, it's like we all have a calling. You've all been gifted at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. You all have a calling. What are you going to do with it? Right? Lee went home to be with the Lord. What was Lee's calling? Evangelism. All the way, even at the hospital with the nurses and the doctors, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as he's dying of cancer. Evangelism. Right? What are you going to do when God calls you to step in and step out? Are you going to do it? That may just be to be a godly mom and a godly husband or a godly father. God may not be asking you to do anything too difficult, right? But just be a godly husband. That's what I need you to focus on right now. That's what I'm asking from you. Can you do it? That's one of the things. Like, we think for some reason we're all supposed to go out and be Billy Graham, right? Everybody's supposed to go be Billy Graham. Everybody's supposed to be the pastor. Everybody wants to be the pastor. No, you don't. No, you don't. Everybody wants to be in front of the camera, be on the worship team with Earth, Wind, and Fire. You ever seen that? Like, man, it's like Earth, Wind, and Fire up there. You can't get paid that way, man. Or I don't even know how those guys made money, man. Like 20 people on stage. That's the old groups, the Ohio Players and all that. Man, you go old school. Had a lot of people on the... Man, if you were in Barry White's Love Unlimited Orchestra, that was a lot of people in that too. There was like 20, 25 people in that. But that's how worship teams are. Everybody thinks they have a calling to step up and do worship, but it's actually a calling that God puts on you. And you have to be gifted. not just with singing, because you can sing all day long, right? You can sing, but if you're not gifted with putting in the time and effort of practicing before practice and being ready, you know, because everybody, like, you just hand me the mic, I'll go for it. No, it's not America's Got Talent, and we're not doing that. It's like, you need to have the right heart to do it. You need to step out in faith, knowing that this is what God's called you to do. And man, when somebody has the heart of worship, you know it. Like, you know it. Next, can I wait on God's timing in my life? Am I able to trust Him for the impossible? Could you wait 25 years? I'm going to be honest with you, I'd be struggling by year one. Let's be real. Right? Let's be real. But this is dedicated prayer. Like, are you going to keep praying that same prayer? Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. They did that for 25 years. So it's easy for us to look at their mistakes of two lies, right? And then their mistake of Hagar and go, oh my, right? But look at the 25 years of faithfulness and God's grace in those little mess ups that they did. And yet God loved them. And they waited on God's timing. And it happened exactly when God wanted it to happen. Because then there's no other way but for somebody to go, only God could have done that. Only God can do that. Lastly, would you be able, or would you be willing and able, if God asked you to step out of your comfort zone in a step of faith? And what would enable you to obey and follow wholeheartedly? So if God asks you to do something that's completely outside of your comfort zone, would you be able to step into it? Now, most of us will answer that very quickly, so don't answer that yet. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct and teach you about how you should live. I will advise you as I look in the eye. As I look you in the eye. I will instruct you and teach you about how you should live. And then Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, the Lord grants success to the one whose behavior He finds commendable. Even if he trips, he will not fall headlong, for the Lord holds his hands. He's a loving Father. And you think about just Him holding the hand as something very gentle within that. Because He loves you. And Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. And then Proverbs 20, verses 24, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? See, if we are saturated with God's wisdom and seeking His will, we'll know exactly where the Spirit is guiding us. Won't know what that is. You'll hear people all the time saying, I don't understand what my calling is or what direction God is moving me. Well, you need to be saturated with His wisdom. You need to be in His Word. You need to be seeking Him. You need to be holding His hand. But if you keep running off to disobedience, right? Like, He'll guide you through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and He'll provide what you need for the circumstances that are going on in your life. When it seems like everything is completely out of control, God is in control. Trust God. Trust God. It's so easy to step out and try to do things in our own way, or we think this is how I'm supposed to do it, but we need to trust Him. Nobody can understand what God is doing, but He's working out His perfect plan. And it's in that school of faith that sometimes we don't learn the lesson. Sometimes you pass, sometimes you fail. And guess what? You get to try it all over again. But He's going to hold your hand the whole way. And so would you be willing and able to, if God asked you to step out of your comfort zone and step into faith, would you be willing to, knowing that He's going to enable you, would you be able to obey and follow it wholeheartedly, right? It's so easy sometimes not to have that on our hearts to do. Like, it's got to be wholehearted. You can't be halfway in, halfway out. And God never told you to do anything halfway, right? Lord knows I wanted to quit teaching this about halfway in. As the noise got more and more, then it sounded like somebody shot me back here with a rock. But we're not doing it halfway. We're doing it wholeheartedly. We're going to keep teaching the Word of God. We're not stopping, right? We don't stop. And so we step out in faith and answer the call that God has put on our lives. We are blessed that it's not 100 degrees today. ACs are working. We may have a little noise, but the ACs are working, right? We need to give thanks to, like, it's so easy for us to get in that mode of complaining. God is providing.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.